This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at LinkedIn.com/decide. That's LinkedIn.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
97.1 FM Talk. On demand audio.
The 80s. I remember the 80s. I mean, I remember I was six exiting the 80s, so I have enough of a memory of that time in my life and kind of the vibe, and I have home videos and stuff that back up what I have at the front of my brain. But the 90s, I certainly remember. It's weird to me how different the decades have gotten, and I don't know if the breaking of innocence that it feels like has taken place culturally is just because that's my life frame that existed in the 80s and the 90s and the 2000s and then the 10s. But it just seems to be like culture has drastically departed from tradition. Traditional seems like there's too much stigma around the concept of traditional cultural values. But we've broken down the institutions and expectations in our society so incredibly much, so much so that it's actually kind of a blacklisted concept to think that I should constantly be in pursuit of bettering myself. Because Annie, you're okay just the way you are.
Oh man, that is so timely. I was thinking about that this morning. About the messages. Well, what you just said.
Are you being real?
No, I'm being real.
Are you going to trash my segment?
No.
I was trying to set up a conversation.
You're doing a great job.
Thanks, Ryan.
Because this morning I was thinking about the same thing. The message. I think I heard a Katy Perry song in a store or something maybe yesterday that triggered this thought. The message, come as you are. Like many things, and especially in a church context, but really in any context. Like many things, there's truth in it. And it's also implying things that are not true. Because come as you are, like in a church context, is great. But it also implies, nowadays, we use that phrase to say, come as you are and stay as you are. And that is not the idea of church.
It's the opposite.
Yes.
It is the number. This happens to me. I get trolls. I don't think they're trolls. And people always say, Annie, stop talking. Don't pay attention to the trolls. There are people who challenge me. I will make a statement. A lot of times I'll just retweet something with like an emoji or a quote from something that somebody else said. And then people attack me for two things. My love and obsession for Donald Trump.
Even if the tweet had nothing to do about that, right?
It never has anything. I don't tweet about Trump. And secondly, my faith. And they deduce from what I tweet, they deduce two things. One is the fact that I have to be a foot soldier for the MAGA movement because I'm a conservative. And generally speaking, if I'm tweeting something, it has to do with my family, sports, or my conservative worldview, which I do not apologize for. And the immediate reaction to something that I tweet out like that is, but what about Trump? And it's usually the tweet goes something like this. Real Christian of you after years of defending Donald Trump for every wrongdoing he ever had, you're here with this statement. And I'm like, let's break this one down. Let's sit here and talk about it. Because, I mean, the simple reply to that tweet is, you don't know me, period. Done with that. But I don't believe that I mean, I know that Twitter is sport for that stuff. Like, It's, you know, the mic drop moment is where you drop the mic and you exit the stage. But on Twitter, you throw the mic at the other person and then they throw it back at you and it never ends. It's not a mic drop. There's we are not mic dropping correctly on Twitter, people. It's not functioning the way a mic drop is. You're supposed to make a statement in a mic drop scenario that is so definitively impactful and in summation of the point you're trying to make that there is nothing left to be said. And I don't engage in mic drop Twitter the wrong way or the right way, because I generally believe that the people who are attacking me, they're like, I'm kind of ready for a rumble. I'm going to step into this one. So they throw the punch at me and they know the punch that I'm going to throw back at them. And they know the punch. I mean, it's all laid out. It's just an exercise of futility because it's the same thing every time. And my goal is to take people who engage with me like that and give them an opportunity to think for a second that I'm not a Republican, that I'm not a Christian, that I'm not a conservative, or that I'm not a bigot. And just simply on the surface, just for a moment, remember that I'm a human being. Because that has been stripped away from everything. Because who I am, all of those things that I listed that are very important to me, all of those things that I listed, I get to have as my own because I'm a human. And we don't care about the humanity of other people. We only care about ourselves. And that's been happening as long as man has walked the face of the earth. But it's never been more evident in my life how self-centered we are, how much we don't participate in caring about other people, but how much we want to be cared for. And that care, when you send it out to somebody else, usually comes back to you.
Going back to something you said right at the beginning of the segment, right after you said that it was appropriate to drunk dance to that George Strait song, I thought that was inappropriate, but I just moved on.
You're the one who said it, and I'm not saying it's inappropriate. If you're going to drunk dance to something, it might as well be George Strait, because I do not want to see you drunk dance to Kid Rock.
Anyway, I would actually like to see somebody try to drunk dance to Ball with the Ball.
That ends quickly. That does not have a long shelf life.
Yeah,
I mean, you're hurting yourself.
That's some sort of like mosh dancing.
Headbang right into the floor.
But you said at the beginning, you said something about how from the 80s through the 90s, 2000s, you watched institutions be attacked and destroyed and brought down. It's really been amazing to watch that in our lifetime, because we're to a point now where there are very few institutions that are, and I hesitate to use the word sacred, but just honored, or that everybody kind of considers to be, yeah, that's a good thing. We all agree with that. There's almost nothing left, to the point where now the quote-unquote rebel on one side is trying to find any sort of traditional institution, like gender or anything, to tear down. And on the other side, you have people at this point who are actually more punk than the punks, who are defending traditional values.
Jack Posobiec says it. He says, be a rebel, start a family.
Yeah.
Matt Walsh went on Dr. Phil. Have you seen this?
Yes. No, I didn't even know this existed.
Oh, my.
Matt Walsh went on Dr. Phil. Just happened. And
like this year?
Like this week.
Okay.
And I don't know that I'm going to play any of that sound on this show. But I am going to tell you that you need to go look at it. And the conversation he has, and this is what he has been, if you're not familiar with Matt Walsh, he's with the Daily Wire, but he's very outspoken and incredibly, most conservatives don't outwardly talk about being social conservatives. You just don't talk about it. It's scary to talk about it. People talk about being fiscal conservatives. That's easy. That's common sense. Social conservatism is not as much discussed. Matt Walsh pretty much only talks about social conservatism issues. Gender, pronouns, you know, identification of who you are, whatever. And his thing is that we have men and we have women. You can identify, you can feel a different way. And he has reasons, he has his thoughts on why people might be a man who feels like they are a woman. But he went on Dr. Phil, and he's having this conversation. He's sitting in like what looks like a director's chair to Dr. Phil's left, across from, there's varying groupings of different people who are on this panel. Sitting across from these two other individuals who I don't want to mischaracterize what they identify themselves, but one of them, I believe, said she was a woman. She has a beard, a full beard. Like, it's
mine.
Her whole face is, yeah. I mean, it's almost like Brad's full beard and long hair and very feminine in her appearance. And this woman says, transgender women are women. And Matt Walsh says, what is a woman? And this
great question.
And this woman says, it's not for me to define.
I love this.
So you have to go watch it for yourself. And regardless of where anybody falls on this issue, like my personal political belief is that it does me no service to dabble in the goings on of other people and their lives and their lifestyles if it is not hindering my lifestyle and I can raise my family adhering to the beliefs and the morals and you know, the faith that we have. I think I can do that, and I can also teach them how to love people and, you know, to identify my own family and my own children's life and my own life, that I am a broken individual that needs salvation and that it only comes from Christ. I mean, that is the foundational element of what Christianity means to me. We're all Christians in this room right now. I'm not even speaking for you. But for me, Christianity is wholly and centered upon the idea that I am not good enough, that I am a failure, and that God was perfect and Jesus was perfect, and he gave up his life for me to make me perfect. None of that has to do with how good I am compared to anybody else, ever. Because in Christianity, as I see it, there is a line that exists where all of the perfect people are on one side of the aisle of that line, and all of the imperfect people are on the other side. And there is one person on the perfect side, and everybody else is in need of that person. And I think that's the foundation with which it is important for my kids to understand their faith. It's why I prioritize a Christian education for them, because I want to understand that. You know, I want them to understand morality as any kid does in any school institution, good and bad. But I want them to understand the importance of forgiveness. What you do, what happens when you do something wrong, you get a consequence. You're also forgiven. And the forgiveness part is not part of the structure of the public school entity as a staple. It's the staple at a Christian school, and that's paramount to me and my family. I know that's not everybody's existence. I know there are people who are not Christian but are hearing what I'm saying and say, we subscribe to all of those same morals, we just don't apply a Christian faith to it. So there are a lot of different people walking a lot of different lives that can come together in that sense of morality. But if you take all of that aside and you just look at what Matt Walsh is asking these individuals, transgender women are women. Matt Walsh says, what is a woman? And then the person who said the first statement says, it's not for me to define.
Yeah. That's why I think that is so interesting, and I want to go watch that now. I also want to see what Dr. Phil, was he just an impartial moderator or what? I mean, what
he did a good job.
Did he? Yeah, that question alone is
such a
good
job. He always looks like
he's
one sentence away from being totally shocked.
Well, I think that's TV person. Whoa! He's basically making promos constantly with his face.
They had a woman who joined the first two individuals who I think maybe was there to represent as a parent of somebody who was non-binary or something like that. But they also had with Matt Walsh, and I haven't seen is the full episode out? Because I watched probably 10 clips.
I've only seen
I don't
the
think
clips.
Next to Matt Walsh were people, I think from Loudoun County. And they were talking about the situation where a non-gender conforming person, and I apologize, sincerely apologize if I'm saying the wrong words. I'm trying. I'm not perfect. If a non-gender conforming individual who was in that bathroom with that one guy's daughter and raped her, the solution to that was to say that they were just going to have non-gender specific bathrooms. And there was a mom sitting on Matt Walsh's side of the screen and a dad that was sitting there, and they're like, my daughter does not feel safe in a bathroom where this is the case. And I mean, like, you watch the conversation. This is a conversation that America should be having. I'm very particular about the words that I'm using right now, because I don't want to say something that's going to indicate something other than what I mean that's going to become useful for someone else. Because there's no way, both parties that are sitting up on that Dr. Phil stage, nothing gets better in the future if those parties can't talk to each other.
Yeah.
The only way that it gets better for one side is if the other side is forced to shut up, which is what has been happening in our country for the last probably 3-4 years. And we should be having more conversations, not less. And that doesn't mean that one side is going to inherently win out over the other. But we're never going to get anywhere or get better if we don't talk about these issues.
Get more at 971talk.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.